Good morning, Barbados and listeners around the world. My name is Crystal Austin, and I am your co-moderator for today, Brass Tacks Sunday, brought to you by Williams Industries. Last Saturday, Minister of Tourism and International Transport, Kerry Simmons, painted a bleak picture of our cruise tourism sector as a fragile vessel sailing in turbulent waters, and he launched a National Cruise Development Commission to help steer the ship toward Barbados becoming what he described as a marquee destination. Shortly after, former Minister Richard Seeley retorted, claiming that he left the sector in ship shape with arrivals at an all-time high and questioning the importance or relevance of the cruise spend figures, which he said were not necessarily done by a true scientific method. Today, we have with us a panel to help us discuss the topic, is cruise in crisis? We'll be back after these messages. And once again, this is Brass Tack Sunday, brought to you by Williams Industries.
Get all your lumber needs from us. We have number one treated pine, all different types of plywood, V-joint, siding board, and concrete board. In addition, we have grade 3 2x4s and form ply for boxing. Big or small, at Williams Metals we have
it all. At Williams Metals we have it all. Visit their website at www.williamsmetals.bb.
And I'm David Ellis with you as well. In the studio today, we have Sean De Freitas. You know him as the man behind, or one of the people behind, the Boatyard, which has been involved in the cruise tourism sector in a significant way over the years. Hotelier Adrian Loveridge is also with us. And on the telephone line from the Bahamas, a man who is no stranger to people in tourism circles, Vincent Vanderpool Wallace. He used to be with the Caribbean Tourism Organization. He's also served as Minister of Tourism in the Bahamas and is currently with the Caribbean Hotel Association. And it is against that background, therefore, that we invite these gentlemen and you, members of the public, to look at the situation facing the cruise tourism sector here in Barbados. Let's begin with Sean De Freitas. Your own assessment of where we are. Are we in crisis or are we not?
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for having me. I do not believe that we're in a crisis. I believe that for many years we've needed to address the situation of cruise in a different manner. I believe that it is controlled by too small a sector, and the reason for that is that the smaller players have not come together and formed a more a force that can be reckoned with. I believe that the cruise sector has a lot to offer. I believe the largest offering of the cruise sector is a conversion to long-stay visitors. I think this is something that we have been preaching for many, many years. And I think when you have what we're up to, 700,000 or 800,000 passengers a year now passing through the country to see it for either the first time or as a repeat guest, I think that is a prime opportunity for marketing and for us to convert. And I think that that's where we should look at the cruise industry a lot more. I think the average spend is, we can all take statistics and we can work them out and cross them, and I can make statistics sound good for me if I want it to sound good for me. You can make it sound good for you if you want to make it sound good for you. But the truth of the matter is, I think the more pressing situation here is, what do we do to make our sector, beautify our sector, make our sector more attractive for both cruise ship passengers as well as on-island visitors? One works off of the other. So I don't think we're in a big crisis. I just think we need to attend to it a little bit better.
Adrian Loveridge.
I listened to the minister's 58-minute interview, not once but twice, and I found a lot of the words used were fairly emotive, and I'm not sure in the scheme of things were overly helpful. But it's clear, my knowledge of the cruise industry is very limited, but it's clear there are some fundamental challenges and confusion there. I believe the minister came out with a cruise visitor spend of $78, which doesn't seem to have increased in the last 3 years, despite an increase in cruise ship numbers. I mean, for last year, I understand 818,752 cruise ship passengers were processed by the port. And of that number, 137,541 stayed overnight prior or post voyage. Now, if that number is included in the calculation of the average spend, then something is wrong with those figures. And we really need to look seriously at what those figures are. Because if certainly to stay overnight, even in an Airbnb property, you're thinking expenditure more than $78 just for the overnight stay, let alone any spend of that cruise passenger. The other thing that concerns me too, when we come out with a number like that, 818,000, then you include in that number another 137,000, which makes up the total number. Are those people counted once or twice? Are they counted as cruise ship passengers, or are they counted as passengers arriving or departing by air? Because this comes back down to the fundamental difference. The change is going to be made in October when there's another $70 slapped on the airfare for departing passengers. And are cruise ship passengers going to be part of this? And are they finally going to be contributing to marketing Barbados?
And let's cross over to the Bahamas before we come back to you, Crystal, because you also have worked in this sector. Yes. So you've got your own views. Vincent Vanderpool Wallace, good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to this edition of Brass Tack Sunday. From where you sit in the Bahamas and as a Caribbean tourism person, what do you see as the challenges and the potential associated with the cruise tourism sector in the region?
Well, I think there are a couple of things. First of all, I think I should make the point that Bahamas cruise business is significantly different from the cruise business almost anywhere else in the region, because at least 60% of all the people coming on a cruise to the Bahamas are on a Bahamas-only cruise. They go nowhere else. So they don't have the multiple island cruises. So to the extent that that makes a difference, I just want to make that point. So we look at cruise tours in the Bahamas slightly differently. But coming to the broader region, I have always been somebody who believes very strongly that what we should be focusing on is really maximizing the spend and the contribution of cruise passengers on the trip that they are making to the region. I agree with the idea of cruise conversion, but remember now, as when you're going on multi-destination cruises, every single destination is hoping to convert that person to come back and spend time with them. So really need to have a primary focus on making sure that we maximize the spend and the economic contribution from the first time around. So to my mind, that is primary, and the conversion part of it is secondary. And then when we go and start talking about some of the average spend, I think, you know, some of the things that I've known him long enough to call him Adrian, that's been talking about in terms of average spend, I think what happens is when you look at the 818,000 in total, there are a significant number of those people who don't spend anything at all or spend very, very little. So when you come out with a $78 average, I think it's being spread across the entire 818,000. So when you look at what the absolute spend is, it would go up with the total number of people who are arriving at a destination. But, of course, the average spend is not going to grow by much, because I think what we are doing is including a large number of people who spend very little on next to nothing. So bottom line, I think the real focus has to be on providing a whole series of products and services such that we increase the number of people who are exiting the ship and taking advantage of what's available in Barbados, because that is where I think a significant opportunity is to grow spend and grow economic contribution. Grow the number of people who are taking tours, because we have a much better series of products for them to select from.
Thank you so much for your input. We really appreciate you joining us today, Mr. Vanderpool Wallace, and certainly you are considered a veteran in the tourism sector. So I'd like to ask you a question as it relates to the collaborative effort that you've seen over the years among our tourism destinations in the region as it pertains to cruise. My understanding is that the cruise ships build the itineraries around a cluster of islands. Do you think that together we are using our strength to negotiate properly and effectively on behalf of each other as a region?
But I think it's an excellent question. I think even before we get to the point of working together to negotiate, I think we ought to be looking also at what itinerary is being and who am I combined with as a particular destination? What are my strengths and what is it that I ought to be offering compared to the other places that people are going to go to? Because I want to differentiate myself from the other destinations and make sure that I give the people who are coming to my destination a quite different choice compared to other places. It is one of the saddest commentaries you're going to find on people coming into our region. And just take a look at it whenever you get a chance. Go and take a look at some of the souvenirs that are being sold in multiple destinations. The only thing changed on that souvenir is the name of the destination. It's exactly the same thing in every single place. So we need to begin to look, first of all, of how we differentiate ourselves compared to the other people as part of that cruise. Second of all, the idea of getting together and deciding what's to be done is a time-worn approach. And you hear a number of people in the region talking about it, including Prime Minister Barbados, the Prime Minister St. Lucia. But that is something that has been proven to be enormously difficult through the years. I mean, I have been told that I shouldn't say what I'm about to say at many, many places, because it seems to me that the Caribbean exists only at conferences. As soon as the conference is over, everybody goes back home, and they begin to do what is in their selfish best interest, and the collaboration and cooperation disappears.
I think you're absolutely right. Certainly, if you look at the excursions that are being offered by the different destinations, it seems as though everybody has zip lining and everybody has these island tours, and they're all very generic, as though we are competing against each other rather than, as you said, collaborating.
One of the interesting aspects of this, though, is that this is an area that has been heavily studied. I saw a study, I think it was done by the OAS, in August of last year, looking specifically at Barbados. And it says that Barbados lacks new tourism products, aging and aesthetically limited infrastructure, uncompetitive shopping environment, high degree of power among a limited number of domestic distribution intermediaries, limited implementation of strategic objectives by government institutions, uneven focus on small business development and human capital development. Effectively, when you pull all these things together, Barbados is not able to get as much of a bang for the buck as it would desire. Now, you've worked in this sector as well. What have you seen over the years, Crystal?
Well, I want to say that the points that you mentioned there are echoed across the studies that you see online and certainly within the sector on the ground, the feedback that you get. So my concern right now is that we have a National Cruise Development Commission with a lot of very qualified and experienced people being deployed, probably to collect the same information that we already know. We already know that our product is very basic compared to what the rest of the world is offering. We know that our shopping is very uncompetitive, that we need to diversify our tourism product in terms of the experiences and the variety of excursions that we offer. We already know all of this. So the question then is, are we just going about this academic exercise over and over without necessarily being research-driven as it relates to the policies that we develop? And I think that, Sean, you mentioned that in your comments that there's not much as it relates to using the research and developing strategic policies around it. So having been in the sector since 2003, which is about 15 years, I would say that research as it pertains to cruise is unending. But one of the biggest challenges we have really is that we really can't negotiate a lot of the things that we want or would like to have on our own, like the $6 head tax, for example. My understanding is that across the region, all of our tourism players, with the exception of Bermuda, have a head tax that's under $10. Now, for Barbados to say, well, we're going to increase that, as Adrian said, we increase the tax, probably wrongfully, on the land-based arrivals. If we were to increase our cruise head tax as an individual destination, watch the cruise ships pull out. Because they have multiple options and they can choose to go elsewhere. So that's why I asked the question as well of Mr. Wallace about collaboration, because collectively we would have way more power to go to the cruise ships and say, well, right now on average we're only charging $10 US per head tax. Let's come to an agreement as to how we can increase that, so that by extension we can use that funding to improve our product and improve the experience for the region. I mean, we get 53% or 54% of the global cruise tourism share. So it stands to reason that any investments that we make in our product collectively as a region will augur well for the cruise ships and the product that they're selling. On the flip side, I have to say that it's also very exciting and concerning at the same time when you look at the way how the cruise ships have been becoming more and more a full-fledged destination in and of themselves, where you have all this technology right now. For example, there's this pendant that you wear when you're on the ship. They're also wristbands, and you can use them just like you would use a mobile phone, just like you would use a credit card, just like you would use a room key. They've combined all of those features into these medallions and these wristbands to give persons this very high-tech 21st century experience. So imagine now they come to a destination like Barbados where they get off the ship and then they see somebody jump into action in a Mother Sally costume or jump into action in a steel band. It almost seems forced, or what they call staged authenticity, where it's just being done for them, but it's not really something that normally happens. And all of these are realities that we have heard in the conferences. I've been to the SOTIC conferences. You hear people talking about the importance of authenticity, but, you know, we come back and we go back to doing what we're accustomed doing.
You heard from Marlon Brathwaite. He's a Barbadian working where?
Yes, he is on a cruise ship. I think he's in Europe.
Let's hear what he had to say on this whole question of where Barbados is and what in his judgment, Barbados needs to do to get more out of the cruise tourism sector.
Every ship has a different age range. The one I'm on is a family ship. So you get a mixture of people. Depending on the destinations, you will get various ages. Sometimes it runs from an average of, 35 to 70. Sometimes you get an older crowd, like starting at in their 50s, in their 80s. And then we have other ships that are just for young people having fun. They should be from in their teens to 45, 50. So it all depends. And that's only my company. Obviously Royal Caribbean and TL and all those other ships, they have similar things happening, in terms of their ships. They have different age brackets for different ships and stuff like that. So that would vary. There's a few ships from my fleet that does the Caribbean season from October right around to March, and they overnight in Barbados usually, and obviously go back to the same port and overnight every 14 days. They kind of get used to the crew. I can't speak for the passengers, but the crew, they get so used to just going to boatyard and drinking rum and going to the beach, it gets boring because there's nothing else to do. And the nighttime, the nightlife isn't the same. It's just drinking. There's bars to go out and drink instead of live music and having something actually specially for them, which will make it more interesting, you know what I mean? But yeah, people love the island. But after a while going there over and over, they just tend not to get off because you've been there so many times. Because obviously from October or November, right around till March the next year, it's quite long. And it get monotonous, just going there all the time, overnight. Go to the Gap, go to Boatyard, because that's basically the places they know. But again, if the if we don't educate the cruise ships about other places for the crew and stuff, well then for them is there's nothing to do, you know what I mean? Unless we have like a local like me that would show them around. Other than that, they don't really venture out. When you get off in St. Martin, you get off in St. Kitts and those places, there's like bars in there, like, because it's open to the public as well, so anyone could come in. Doesn't mean everyone, you know, they're going to get the duty-free discount, but you're allowed to come in and, you know, go to the bars or buy food or whatever at local prices. So what happens, it creates an atmosphere for people getting off the ship, and then you have live music. For instance, if you have live music in the port in Barbados, because it's shut off from the public, they're literally just waiting for someone get off the ship to play the steel drums or for the band or the tuk band or whatever to start up, which is shit, because then it doesn't build an atmosphere. Like, people want to get off into the atmosphere, not when the band is not starting, if you get what I mean. So I think it, in terms of that aspect, yes, it needs to change a lot. Like, they need to open the port to the locals that people can go in and buy perfumes and put a few more bars. There's a lot of space, and when I look at it, it looks like a lot of waste space as well. If they can modernize it and have free Wi-Fi and that type of thing. And our port is huge in comparison to St. Kitts and those places, but then ours is just barricaded from everyone. Like, the average person in Barbados haven't been to the Bridgetown port, like, to see what's inside. They don't have a clue. With these other places, it's open to go in and shop if you want to buy a watch. You can go into Bridgetown port, you know what I mean? Not Bridgetown, in like St. Kitts port. You can just walk in and go look at jewelry or whatever as a local. And I think that helps, because you get a mixture of people, and that's what, you know, passengers and tourists, they're looking for, a bit of culture, you know, not just the pretend thing, put on a Mother Sally suit or Shaggy Bear and hopping around. They want to actually sit and chat with a local and, you know, talk about cricket and that type of stuff and what's been going on, and, you know, to feel a bit normal. It's something you don't want to be in the center of, you know, of attention, getting off the ship and people dancing around you and there's a steel band just there set up just for you. You don't want that, because you want to take in what the locals do and that type of thing as a passenger or a stranger in that land. Like, for me, when I get off in St. Lucia and those places, I like to walk through town, see what it's like, and sit in a bar in those areas and see how they live and what they eat and what they, you know. Anyways, so on that note about the port, it needs to change up, and I believe you can modernize it a bit more, add more bars and food, like food stalls and that type of thing for the passengers, selling local food like macaroni pie and flying fish and, you know, a bit of cuckoo, a little sauce, and, you know, give them the real taste of Barbados. Not they shouldn't have to walk all the way into town to get that, because it's still quite far from the port, or get a taxi. While in those other places, town is literally outside of the port, so then it's easier. And as I said, like, if you have older passengers, they don't want to get up to walk, you know, wake up earlier morning, then have to watch that sun.
So that's Marlon Brathwaite.
Yes, definitely. And I think on that last point, he mentioned one of the issues that Minister Simmons would have highlighted, and it is very pervasive throughout the Tourism Master Plan, this whole issue of accessibility for our visitors, especially when you look at the demographic of persons coming to Barbados. They're persons who are around the retirement age, and they are not as flexible as they would have been before. The trek from the port to the city is quite long. Not sure. Sean, perhaps you could tell us your views on this whole notion of the accessibility for our visitors.
Well, there are a few points that have come up there that I would like to address.
Okay.
First of all, I'd like to just touch very quickly on this average spend scenario, because it has been something that seems to be having everybody in a tailspin at the moment. Let me explain the average spend a little bit better to you. First of all, you have to understand where we stand on the itinerary. You have to understand that we are not the first. In most cases, we are the fourth or fifth on the itinerary. If you were to take your family to Disney, let's say four or five of you, you go up to Disney for a 7-day trip. Day one, day two, day three, you're spending like crazy. It's no problem. Everybody's excited. Everybody's having a good time. You're buying towels, you're buying shirts, cups, the whole 8 miles. On day three, you get back to your hotel at night and you look at your wallet and you say, hey guys, we got another 4 days to spend here. We need to peel back a little bit. And that's what starts to happen. So we have a little disadvantage in the fact that we are so far down the line. And we will always have that problem. We are very far south, very far east. We're lucky to be on the destination route because of how far we are. But I don't think luck is the only thing. I think Barbados is a very desirable destination. I think we sell ourselves short as to why these cruise ships spend the extra to put the gas on to come down here. They come into Barbados for a reason. And it is to do with our people. It is to do with our... I'm a strong, strong believer in the sand and the sea. I am still one of those that believes that that is our biggest asset. They cannot build those beaches on the ships. They cannot sail around in the ocean and have what we have God given. They cannot. They are going to keep coming to us for that. They can build islands. They can do whatever they want. But we have that. We have a character about us that they cannot duplicate on a cruise ship. Okay? So I think there's always going to be room there for us. So to address the average spend based on that, based on the fact that shopping is, again, something you're going to do when your pocket is full. So therefore, your better shopping destinations are going to be places like St. Thomas, St. Martin, and so on. So most of the people buying watches and jewelry and so on are spending it there. Now, when you do a comparison in numbers, shore excursion numbers, on a Caribbean average to a Barbados average, shore excursion, for instance, the average spend, and this is based on this $75 average spend that we're getting here in Barbados, is $20.89 in Barbados, and it's $23.33 as a Caribbean average. So we're not that far outside of that. Now, I'm not saying for 1 minute that we have reached anywhere near what we should reach with shore excursions. I think we're not being creative enough, and I think I like to throw some of those options for being creative here today. I can't do them myself. But there's plenty of small business in this country that can be created for both culture, for artists, for our taxi drivers, for our people that live in neighborhoods and fishing villages and so on. And I think it's something that we have naturally, and again, we do not use. Take, for instance, the same Disney I just talked about. And you go to these places and they create cities that you go and visit. So you're in Miami, but you're in France and you're in Holland and you're in here and you're in the Caribbean. They have a Caribbean area. We're in the Caribbean and we're trying to create something that's going on in Europe or Dubai. And I think we need to get away from that. We need to give the people what we have naturally. We need to expose that more to us. I think this beach culture thing that we have is something that we need to push a lot more. We do a lot of nighttime events and so on. There's a lot of cost in putting together nighttime events. Why don't we do any daytime events? Why isn't there a big beach concert held on Harry Smith Beach every week when the largest amount of cruise ships are in so they can sell people to go to that and that the local hoteliers can send people to as well? You imagine what we would look like with a stage set up on Harry Smith Beach. You're selling tours to it. It's a nice big fetting atmosphere, but not necessarily as wild as we go for crop over. The tourists aren't necessarily as much into that. You want to carry your families and so on. But we could create something that is unique and different to the rest of the Caribbean. Nobody else is doing it. And it doesn't cost us that much. The entities that can play in it can get together and do this at a very low cost. They need government support in facilitation more than anything else, but they can do that. One last thing quickly on the spend. You got one of the watch and jewelry scenario. There's a stark difference between what is spent here in Barbados and what is spent as the average throughout the Caribbean. And the average is $37 and our average is $16. Now, when you add up all of these different average spends and so on, and you come down to the bottom, if you just take a couple of items like the watch and jewelry scenario and food and beverage per se, if you take those things and you come down to the end, we aren't that far off the average. We're at about $100 and $101 compared to $103 as the average. So our averages aren't that badly off. Does not stand to reason that we cannot improve on everything that we're doing. Now, first of all, the cruise ships have always been calling for us. There's been this split as to whether we should have a new port or whether we can take the port that we have and aesthetically make it nicer. I've always believed that a new port time will come. It is not there yet. And as you can see from the figures that are being spent, it's not financially feasible. I mean, we're going to build a port for $360 million and we're going to get $336 million a year out of it. And then we have to pay back for that port. I don't think we're ready for that as yet. But I think we can really do something with the port that we have here. And it can be done again by aesthetically making it aesthetically pleasing. Sorry, David.
No, I just wanted to, to cross over here to Vincent Vanderpool Wallace, who's been listening to a lot that has been said about the Barbados scenario. When you look at this from the Bahamas and the regional perspective, though, Mr. Vanderpool Wallace, we talk a lot about the difference in approach at the ports. What happens at the Bahamas then?
Well, I can tell you, when we start talking about average spend, the same lament you're hearing from the panel members there is the same lament you hear in the Bahamas. And to the phrase at this point, I think is very much correct. When you begin to look at, and there's something called the BREA study. I forget what the BREA is. It's just the acronym for it. And you look at the expenditure across the entire region. And very clearly, and a classic example is, if you look at take out watches, jewelry, and electronics, the average spend in most places are not that far off. However, one of the things that he mentioned, which is very, very clear, is that people who have some of these, the St. Martin, U.S. Virgin Islands on the itinerary, they are known to be places that have good deals on watches and jewelry. So in very much the same way that certain destinations on a particular itinerary is known for a particular thing, I believe people will save their money to experience whatever that wonderful opportunity is in Barbados. So that's why I come right back and say I have always believed that most of the cruise business is incremental spend. This is, in many cases, spend that would not be in our destinations if the cruise ship did not exist. And if you start from that point of view, you begin to focus on exactly what I think that Mr. Braithwaite was talking about his experiences. When you look at the people on the ship and look at what they are likely to want to buy and begin to create products that are indigenous to Barbados, are likely to appeal to them, that's really what the focus should be on, and maximizing the number of people who are coming off that ship with that pre-purchase to have that experience. And we need to decide individually for each destination, what is it that I'm going to offer that's going to differentiate my destination from the others on my itinerary to attract people to get off the ship and spend money with me? To my mind, that's the principal focus, and so we can increase the incremental spend that's coming from these visitors known as cruise passengers.
One of the striking criticisms coming from the analysis which was done here recently had to do with the attitude of the Barbadian who is interfacing with the visitor in the stores in particular. But if you think that that was new, if you go back to this study from last year, it says that Barbados had an uncompetitive shopping environment. Beyond the quality of tours, Barbados' lowest survey marks are associated with its shopping experiences, overall prices, and courtesy of store employees. Local stakeholders in the handicrafts and cruise industry lamented lack of marketing associated with general shopping and Barbados being a duty-free environment. Additionally, Pelican Village is relatively old and in need of general reinvigoration. Now, Adrian Loveridge, let's talk about the customer experience in Barbados. I mean, we used to pride ourselves on being a country that was very friendly to tourists, and it was a major selling point. But in the cruise sector, that's not being said.
I've sadly experienced it myself. This is my 52nd year in tourism. And my wife and I had never taken a cruise, so we decided to take one of the Carnival cruises on a 7-night cruise out of Barbados, returned to Barbados. And the first difficulty we experienced when we got back into Bridgetown was we couldn't get a taxi driver to take us back to Inchmallow, which is not an insignificant run. It's almost to the airport. And finally, after asking 11 or 12 taxi drivers, one recognised us because he dropped guests off at our hotel. And he said, "No, I'll take you back. Sorry, experience." They were all wanting to do an island tour. None of them wanted to do a transfer. Because of the money, yeah. But it doesn't just end there, of course. Banking, you could go right through the service industries. Shopping is just one of those things that people do have challenges with. There are notable exceptions. I'd give a job tomorrow to your chap on the door here. Greeted me, looked after me, offered me newspapers, sat me down. That's what we need. We need more interaction with ordinary people to our visitors. We're all on the same side. We all have the same objective. And yet somehow we have this disparity of looking at the service industry as if we're being servile.
Well, we set up a commission now to discover what we already know. The issue here is, what are we going to do about the problem? How can we work on this one?
I wish I could give an answer to that. I remember when I sat on a few committees and boards and things here with the last 40 years, and the one that stands out in my mind more than anything else is why, from another committee member, and this happens so often, why are we discussing the things we were discussing 20 years ago without finding a solution?
As far as, if I can interject here for a second.
I'm going to come right back to you to get you to expand on that point after this reminder that this edition of Brass Tacks Sunday is coming to you in association with Williams Industries Incorporated.
You do not have to be a roofing expert to know that a metal sheet will rust where it is joined. That is one reason why the beautiful permaclad U-panel and R-panel roof sheet sold at Williams Metals will outlast other roofing materials. Permaclad, colorclad, and corrugated sheets are cut to the exact length that you will need, up to 40 feet and even longer. That means no joins from ridge to eave. Colorclad sheets come with a factory-painted finish in white, blue, green, red, brown, and yellow, and are fitted with screws for added resistance, tested to withstand high winds up to 130 miles an hour. Get a rail roof supplied at competitive prices. Delivered to you today from Williams Metals. Simply call Williams at Kane Garden St. Thomas 425-2000 or Lowlands Christ Church 428-1500.
Visit their website at www.williamsmetals.bb.
Sean De Freitas.
I think one of the issues we have in tourism in Barbados, and I've always had, and it's easy to address, I think, because we're talking now about solutions rather than just, you know, laying blame. 62% of our exports are tourism. 17,000 people directly employed, and as much as 50,000 people employed. About 40% of our workforce is directly or indirectly in tourism. And one of the things we lack is a good educational program. I go back to the days, I guess I'm may sound old here, but I think it was Giggert and Boo, was it? Where we did a lot of these GIS things and skits and so on. And we need to get back to that. We need to get back to, you know, these skits that show what we should be doing as far as service is concerned, about being proud of our island, not littering, looking after our guests, looking after our fellow man. But we need to get back to more of that. And it needs to be done in a more... a way that is funny, a way that is that gets the message across, but that people would sit and listen to. And I thought that those used to work very, very well. I thought that was one of the best things that the GIS ever had. It's a government information service, and it was being used as that for many years. And then for many years, it hasn't been used for anything, really, other than to tell you if when there's a new tax to be paid or how you can, you know... do things like that, but it's not giving you full education.